active on Wikipedia. She was not so successful in the arbitration case, but I wound up becoming somewhat familiar with this.
Right. Isn't there a distinction between using a primary source that may be defamatory and saying that Joe Schmo did XYZ, rather than saying in the Daily Journal it was reported that Joe Schmo said XYZ, and the people need to be careful as to how it's formulated to take advantage of that particular legal precedent?
Right. It's very important to say, if you're repeating something that was in another source, it's very important to specify the source and to create an inline citation for that. I mean, I don't think any of us are lawyers, so this is not legal advice. Please double check with somebody who is a lawyer.
Absolutely. Yeah, Giovanni Stefano is a lawyer.
He's been a very prominent one. This is not exactly someone that you would want to play fast and loose with the law on.
Exactly. Also, there's another aspect I'd maybe like to bring up. I tend to be a proponent of the whole opt-out proposed policy suggestion thing, where the subject of a biography could contact either the foundation or OTRS, verify their identity and opt out of biographies. You know, I could see that all the controversial ones would rapidly disappear as the subjects get in contact. But that might be something that we should consider. After all, our primary concern is not to do harm to people, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you may be familiar with my position on that is fairly well known. I offer to nominate our biography articles for deletion at the subject's request on pretty generous terms.
Right.
The question is, you know, where do we draw the line with where we don't offer that anymore? I mean, if Donald Rumsfeld came along and said, "I don't like the press I've been getting," can you really cover the George W. Bush administration or the last several years of history without ever mentioning his name?
It's tend to go to the ludicrous, you know, where person Y, whose name we shall not mention, said, you know, that's a fair point, but more to the point, maybe it's their specific biography rather than, you know, related incidents. Like for the example you give, Donald Rumsfeld, I mean, you could get rid of his BLP without necessarily getting rid of his input into other people's stuff. Because I think the primary concern is when people do like Google searches and stuff like that on a person's name, Wikipedia is top of the list largely.
Oh, yes.
And what happens is that if there's anything defamatory in there, or if, like WP Undo, if it becomes like a coat rack for all sorts of dreadful things where a person has had like one or two transgressions over a large and rather notable career, and the biographical article, while correct and sourced, puts too much weight on it, and it becomes, you know, a hatchet job.
Would somebody like to explain the WP Undo in case we have a listener who's not familiar with the abbreviations for our policies?
Okay.
Go ahead.
WP Undo is usually invoked if somebody's placing undue weight upon a subject within an article, usually a BLP article, where it's starting to become the focus where it shouldn't be, and it's the neutrality of it becomes lost in the fact that you're focusing on something that is correct and can be described in neutral terms, but it's being overdone.
Right.
I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's like, you know, if something's true, but it's a minor fact in somebody's life and it turns out being three quarters of the article.
Right, yeah, it gets overinflated. And actually it can be done maliciously.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, that needs to be addressed.
I've been pretty active on some contentious biographies of living people where that has been happening and where the coat rack thing has been happening. And it's very frustrating for them, especially when they want employment and whatever, and if somebody looks them up, this is the first thing they see.
Right, yeah. Which is, you know, it's probably a good reason for the proposed opt-out solution, where the subject could get on and say, look, this is this isn't on, I consider it undue. And you know, the person could say, look, I don't even want to get into a debate here, just make it go. And really they should, you know, they should be allowed to,
I think,
within reason.
The way that I've seen the debate go on site, there's some people who think that the subject's opinion shouldn't have any weight at all. And there's some who say, well, yes, up to a point, but, you know, there's a great deal of debate on where to draw that line. Zero, you had some comments about this?
Not really.
Okay. Well, we had another thing, and this was another one that you suggested, Allison, about check user. Would you like to explain the debate on that?
I just happened to notice earlier today there's a rather quiet debate regarding check user going on Wikipedia talk request for adminship. And I know this came up in the past when Majorly suggested it back in January.
Mm-hmm.
There's discussion about whether on the English Wikipedia that the position of check user should be opened to community approval as opposed to coming from on high from ARBCOM. And there's a lot of debate going on about that right now. And I just really want to bring it up to, you know, see what people's opinions are.
Now, you are a check user.
Yes.
And would you explain for us what a check user does?
Well, basically, a check user has access to information that would be considered of a private nature, usually to do with like IP addresses, dates and times of editing, and who's using what IP address, and some other information.
So, in a nutshell, could I summarize, like, if somebody's registering and using their username, you could see the underlying IP address, basically.
Correct.
And if somebody is registering your usernames from the same IP address, you could see that too.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a socking tool, primarily, but it does give information on a person's location. And it's a matter of privacy, and user can be identified to office so that their full legal identity is known to office.
Yeah, do check users have to be of legal, you know, adult age?
Yes. I think it says in the policy 18 right now.
Okay. And what's your feeling on this since you've been on both sides of the fence, you're a check user?
Yeah, I'm in an awkward position in that I'm one of four check users that are currently not arbitrators or haven't been are members of office. So people are asking the question right now, why are they there, and how is it that the community, from a trust point of view, the community didn't have any input into that? I think that's a very fair point. And somebody already brought up the point that being on one side of the fence and on the other side of the fence, people tend to have other views. If they're already appointed, then there's a bias that says, well, no, it should be closed down and it should only just come from ARBCOM. Whereas people who have not been would rather see it open to the community. My personal opinion on it is that it should be open, more open to the community, that someone could be appointed sooner to a bureaucrat, but that the arbitration committee would have sort of put into it to, and at least have the final say in it. But right now, there isn't really a mechanism for somebody to obtain, you know, check user authorization. So the debate is something that's starting to heat up. But it's been ongoing for quite some time, and it's going to be interesting.
Does anybody here have an opinion on that?
I don't really.
Well,
I think there are things we could do to improve check user, but I'm not really too sure that changing how we select them is going to be a big difference.
Martijn, you were stressed?
Yeah, I was. There is, at the moment, something that is perceived to be a probably smaller group, and that is something